Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 55, Episode 3 of Your Daily Frightgeist for Halloween, Wednesday, October 31st, 2018. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Hack Boo Dying, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Yes, it's Miles, a.k.a. Gay Slimer. That's an anagram, and Slimer from Ghostbusters. Also, bring back Ecto Cooler, hi C. And now let me just do a singing one for y'all, too, because I have to sing. Because with the Zeit Gang, it's less dangerous. Here we are, Miles, entertainers. We're so stupid and contagious. Here we are, Jack, entertain us with a blazing and potato.
Wow.
We're the Zeit Gang. Here
this
we are now.
Going.
Yeah. So that was from Sweetwater, at Sweetwater underscore 1981. I'm guessing you were born in 1981.
Well done.
Thank you.
Sweetwater and Miles. Well, we're thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the very funny improviser and writer, Hayes Davenport.
Hi, guys.
What's up,
Thank
man?
You for having me.
Thanks for
I don't
being
have
here.
Any Halloween stuff geared up.
Are you dressing up for Halloween?
No. For the first time, we're going to be home, and I'm going to put out a CVS battery-powered pumpkin just in case, like, a kid comes.
Okay.
So it's a little friendly for them. But
right.
Yeah. No dressing up this year. In past years... we'll brag, but I've been invited through a friend to Maroon 5's Halloween party that they have every year. That's like a very serious like dress up
hills?
Event. This it's been I don't know if I should say where
yeah,
it used to be at Hollywood Forever Cemetery.
Oh wow.
And it was awesome, but I never got it together enough to like compete with like celebrity costumes.
Yeah, who have
and
like stylists.
Kind of thing. Yeah, that spend like $20,000 and just suddenly they have a costume
right.
That's like really incredible.
Yeah,
and I'm
yeah.
dressed in like a Pikachu suit or whatever.
You just get like the store bought.
Yes.
Like.
I'm Green Man. Remember that? It's a green bodysuit.
So this year, yeah, we're opting out. We're just too tired.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
What kind of candy are you giving away?
Some Reese's thing.
Okay.
Crowd pleaser. Can't
yeah.
go wrong.
Do you, like, as someone now, as an adult who's on the giving outside of candy, do you ensure that you your candy is the kind of shit that you wanted as a kid?
I
and
think
you stay away from the shit that you hated getting?
Yeah, and so I guess it's probably bad because as we were kids, we're going to adults' houses giving out
right.
the shitty candy that they liked when they were growing up.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
kids
yeah.
now are probably like, they just want whatever, a vape cartridge or something.
Yeah, some sense. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what we're giving out, Juul cartridges.
Yeah. Yes. For... They're like, king-size Snicker? What the fuck is a Snicker?
Yeah. No, actually, that's
weed?
One thing I noticed. That's one thing I noticed in past Halloweens is that kids are more into, like, not chocolate candies. Chocolate candies are not as popular
right.
as they were in my day.
Yeah,
yeah, it's,
yeah.
Us, it's like yeah. us growing up, the
yeah,
equivalent
the
of like those,
yeah.
those dusty candies that adults would always give out when we were kids, like
right.
Necco wafers or whatever.
Right,
we're just,
yeah.
Oh, gross. We now that's chocolate
yeah.
for kids.
Chocolate was the flex, because I remember yeah. I'm like, oh, fucking Starburst again?
Yeah. No, and they go all Starburst, all like the gummy candies and shit. That's what
kids
these kids
stupid.
Go crazy
the
for.
The values of yeah. the chocolate morons.
Right.
Because they're used to having like CBD gummy. And so
right,
exactly.
It's a taste
it's
they've
weed.
Acquired
they're gonna
from
come
weed.
Back. They eat it. They're like, like, what the fuck, dude? Is this THC or CBD, my man?
I'm fucking with them and giving them circus peanuts because
wow.
that's a non-chocolate candy. I'll be like, oh, you like non-chocolate,
yeah.
huh?
I'm gonna write
go,
Bible
assholes.
Verses. I'm gonna write Bible verses onto packing peanuts.
Just loose
yeah.
circus peanuts. All right, Hayes, we're gonna get to know you a little bit better in a moment. But first, we're taking our listeners through what we're talking about today. The goal of our show is to tell you guys what our country is thinking and talking about today, what's on our mind, hiding in our unconscious, using the headlines, box office reports, TV ratings, what's trending on Google and social media. And today we're talking about, I want to go back and psychoanalyze horror a little bit more and specifically ask the question, why do horror movie villains never have guns? Like, why are we not scared of guns? We're going to talk about how Matt Drudge has had it and the weird brand of having had it that Matt Drudge has. We're going to talk about this case being brought against three right-wing militia members who were planning to bomb an apartment complex that was housing Somali refugees. We're going to talk about Shep Smith, who's like just losing his mind at Fox News, just being like, what the fuck is happening right now? And Trump's announcement that he's going to end birthright citizenship.
Just like that.
Halloween costumes, just check in any Halloween costumes we saw. And finally, we're going to retire a trend. But first, Hayes, we ask our guest, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
Last couple days, yesterday especially, I spent all day searching the air quality index of LA. I don't know if you've noticed, it's been like filthy outside, like visibly, like pictures you see of LA in the 70s where
right.
it's like you can see
yeah.
brown like smog everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I see now Apple has updated its weather app so you can see what the air quality index is in the
oh,
city
really?
At any given time. And I don't know if you notice, sometimes it says at the top, instead of like clear or cloudy or whatever, it says unhealthy air quality.
Oh, no.
Like, don't go outside. This
oh, yeah.
is like,
it says moderate right now.
Today it's
yeah.
moderate, which
okay.
is great. But it's just another, I like it, it's just another thing to refresh. Life is just like finding
right.
new pages
right.
to refresh, basically.
Yeah.
And so now that's something, some new thing I can just check in on throughout the day.
That's so funny because for the past like 5 days I've been getting migraines for the first time in my life. And
that could absolutely be
yeah.
what it is.
And then I like started hearing from other people who are like, man, I'm getting these bad headaches. I don't know why. It must be allergies or
Sonic
something.
Sonic rays.
Yeah. It
Sonic
might just be
gun.
Like terrible air quality.
Or it's a brain tumor.
Yeah. Or it's a brain tumor. My wife
maybe you have a tumor.
That.
Isn't that what he says in Kindergarten Cops?
It's not a tumor.
Because like, isn't he has a headache and the kid's like, maybe yeah. I have a tumor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shut up, kid.
Yeah. That should, that's what he should have said.
I'm still angry at that little boy who's probably a man now.
Mm-hmm. What is something you think is overrated, Hayes?
Overrated? Well, I work in TV mostly. I'm a TV writer, so it goes without saying that I think every TV show that people like is overrated.
Right.
I can't really enjoy anything. But we were talking about CBD before. I guess that's mine. I've never really smoked weed, so this is my first like foray into like this fun culture. It's still weird to me to go into like a coffee shop and get one of these like CBD drinks.
Oh, interesting.
I feel right. like Judd, like, you know, like someone, the person I'm getting it from at the counter is like, oh, party time for this guy in the middle of a day on a Wednesday. And it also, it either has no effect on me or just makes me feel like a little off in like an unpleasant way.
Sure, sure.
Oh, interesting.
So I don't know. It's just, it's not, I see it popping up everywhere now, these like CBD shaman yeah. places.
Everything's like, and we can add CBD to your soup.
Yeah,
like, I don't need that at all. I will. Can I smoke a blend here? No? Oh, then I'm gonna keep it moving. I think if you smoke CBD, you probably will feel it more, the effects of like how CBD is meant to feel, than if you do like drinking
like
it in a
seltzer.
Mixed drink.
Yeah,
yeah. And because I've never had like the CBD infused drinks, because to me, I'm sort of like, I don't know if that's really gonna have the intended effect. Whereas like I was at a wedding recently, and I had a little CBD pen with me, and that was perfect for the wedding, because there's no, you know, you don't get the drug freakouts
yeah.
in your head,
uh-huh.
and you can just chill.
But I do feel like some people are like weed people who just like smoking or doing anything related to weed just like improves their experience with something. And some people just like feeling off in not a pleasant way. It describes like 80% of my experiences
sure.
smoking weed.
Yeah, you know, it's just, yeah. it all depends, you know, what planet you're from, man.
yeah,
I'm
man.
I'm from planet Chill Vibes.
Yeah, yeah.
INI.
I am not. I immediately assume everybody at the wedding is...
hates me.
The wedding is about me right. somehow.
Yeah. Am I not dancing enough?
yeah, that's what the bride's thinking about. What is something you think is underrated?
Underrated? Something I've really gotten into recently is reading the print newspaper.
Ooh.
Just as we like are all like consuming more news than ever, like online. Sure. I like how it organizes information in a way that's a little like easier to know what's important and what's not. On yeah. the internet, sometimes everything feels like an equally sized piece of information.
Yeah.
But in the newspaper, it's like, here's the front page. Like, here's the stupid shit you don't have to worry about. And it, you also have the feeling of being done at some point, which is
right.
so You're much
like,
better
oh, right.
than the internet, where it's like, oh, you've read everything yeah. in the newspaper. You can throw it away now.
Imagine scrolling to the bottom of Twitter one day, and you're like, wait, yes. it's not. it's, no, I've read everything?
Right.
Does the world going to end?
What print publications are you subscribing to?
I read the LA Times.
Never heard of it.
And I get it. This I really love, because, you know, I'm worried about it like piling up in my house and like tipping over onto me and
right.
suffocating
yeah, yeah, yeah.
me. And so I get
Wait,
it
are
delivered.
You a hoarder?
Well, I mean, like, you would, if you get it at your house, it's going
right,
to just
yeah.
pile up. And
That's
be
how
in.
The New Yorker is, too, sometimes.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah,
too
yeah.
many.
Oh, my God.
So I get it delivered to, like, the cafe near my house, so I can, like, go get
Whoa.
It there and, like, read it there. I feel like it's a New York. I'm, like, trying to get the, like, bodega lifestyle.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, living in New York.
I didn't even know that was an option. That's
you,
amazing.
I just asked. I was like, is this okay? And they're like, yeah, I guess. they probably thought I was setting up some weird alibi. Of,
right, right, right.
No, I live here. This is where my newspaper goes.
Hey, can you hold this newspaper up and we take a photo right now? And also, can we point to the clock what time it is? Okay, cool. Thanks. I'll probably never be back after this. You can keep all the newspapers.
Yeah, no, I totally feel you on like the having the information organized for you. I subscribe to the Sunday New York Times, and just having a front page to like read all those stories and feel like, okay, those were the most important stories of that week, according
yeah.
to like people who are paying attention to the news, is kind of a good tool.
And you get T Magazine. I go right to T Magazine. Mm-hmm. I love that it weighs 50 pounds.
yeah, yeah, exactly.
I don't know if there's anything that's not an ad in it.
No, yeah. Why? What is T Magazine? I've only seen the cover of it and just
it's
promptly.
Giant. The binding is like, three-dimensional. It's
right.
so thick.
Yeah.
Like when you pick up the Sunday Times and it's so heavy, that's all T Magazine.
Just, yeah, mostly T Magazine. Finally, what is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
A myth. I do a show about LA, a podcast about like LA news and stuff called LA Podcast. And we talk a lot about housing and homelessness, stuff that is like a huge deal in LA and mm-hmm. in pretty much every major city now. And there are so many myths around that. And the one that I think probably comes up the most is that it's really expensive to house homeless. The alternative, like that the thing that's keeping the homeless people from being housed is cost.
Mm-hmm. Right.
When really what's super expensive is what we do now, which is let people live on the street. So they go to the emergency room every day. They go in and out of jail. That shit is really, really expensive.
Right.
And it is cheaper to just provide homes for people.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And we have a lot of money available to actually tackle this problem, but we're kind of running into a lot of neighborhoods where people haven't quite realized that this is actually a good solution to homelessness. And they just see people like, you know, there have been town hall meetings where people are screaming down homeless people who have gotten back on their feet from like support housing. Mm-hmm. And people are like, we don't care about your story or whatever. And they think there's like a whole pushback in the city too, where we have the money to do this. Actually, it's been it's all there. We just have to find the places to do it. And yeah, it's true. Like, there's no harder place to try and recover, whether you have mental illness or something else going on, than doing that on the street.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I mean? And it's such a simple thing, but we're still trying to, you know, overcome the optics, I think, of people. Just the idea of there being support housing near them thinks, oh, it's going to breed crime or whatever.
Yeah. When the alternative is people living near you on the street,
right,
like you're saying, which
I
would think, that you would like people moving inside instead of sleeping on the sidewalk. But yeah, like exactly like you're saying, the money is so much easier to get than it is to spend.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and recently in the city, there's a new program that the mayor's rolling, you know, saying, hey, turn all your rentable units in the back of your house, your garage or an in-law suite or whatever. We can subsidize these people living there to help get back on their feet. There are solutions that we're trying to pursue. But yeah, it's definitely, like you say, there's this idea, this preconceived notion about what it means to help rehabilitate homeless people or get them the support they need that people have all wrong. But yeah, we're moving step by step.
Yep.
But we got to take bigger steps.
Yep.
Yeah, I live by UCLA, and they have this huge, like, veterans campus.
Giant.
It's, like, right in the middle of the city. It's a huge campus that's just, like, old rotting buildings that haven't been used for decades.
Yeah, they say they can't really put housing on. They're finally starting
to.
Instead, they, like, let the Brentwood School, the private school, like, play tennis there and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get into today's zeitgeist. And, I wanted to talk about horror movies, the horror genre, again, before Halloween is over. This is, I guess, appropriate to the zeitgeist because there was another mass shooting, and this one we kind of moved past the fact that it was another AR-15 shooting and, you know, all the NRA talking points that we usually talk about because the mentally ill shooter's motivation was specifically and literally triggered by a week-long fake Fox News fear-mongering campaign about the caravan coming up towards the border. But yeah, I want to revisit horror movies. Like we were discussing Halloween because it blew up at the box office a couple weeks ago, from the standpoint that it's a weird and unique genre in that it's the one where audience tracking scores don't seem to matter and in fact sometimes have the opposite effect. Like Hereditary scored a D and was a monster hit because it was so unpleasant to go to. But one specific convention of the genre that I've always found weird is that the villain in a horror movie, like, can't use a gun. Like, we have serial killers who have used guns, and like the Son of Sam and the woman from Monster and the protagonist we relate to in the horror movie can have a gun. Like, guns exist in these universes, but the object of our fear is not allowed to use a gun. Like, trying to imagine Jason or Michael Myers or Hannibal Lecter pulling out a gun and just shooting their victim.
We've normalized gun violence in this country to a certain extent. And there's like a, you know, like even people who kill with guns, there's something more sadistic about using, stabbing someone to death. It creates a much more different profile than someone who kills someone with a gun.
Right.
That there's another level, like the intimacy of killing someone like that is different. And maybe that's something they try and underline in that sense.
This is a bit we do on the comedy show I do called Hollywood Handbook. We talk about Slender Man like sneaking up on you and shooting you.
Right.
Yeah, but it's ridiculous. I think because those movies survive on tension and there's really no tension, you don't have to be snuck up on if you can be shot from 50 feet away or whatever.
The bullet sneaks up on you.
Yes. So but it is a reflection on that this thing is so pervasive in our culture that is so easy to kill people with, it can't even work for a horror movie because the movie would be so much shorter.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I can't, like, one of the spookiest experiences I've ever had was living in D.C. during the D.C. sniper thing. Mm-hmm. And just, like, people were just getting, like, picked off at random. And you were just looking around you not knowing if somebody was out there with a sniper rifle. Yeah. And I don't know. It was scary in a horror movie way. But
my high school canceled a trip to Walden Pond. During the DC sniper was going around.
Really?
Because I guess theoretically they could have driven up like 4 hours to get to Walden Pond to pick off like a freshman year school trip.
But, so yeah. So we just think it's like too easy for the killer to kill people?
I mean, for the same reason, like if you imagine, you know, Jason just shooting a dude, then it's like, all right. You know what I mean? Like, right. Like, oh, I got shot.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
If you're like, oh, he fucking hacked. You know what I mean? Like, there's just something darker about that form of being killed than merely just an efficient gunshot.
And maybe it's too realistic to be fun. What they kind of use that for is like cop thrillers, like Dirty Harry is about a sniper. So, the bad guy's a sniper.
Right.
Jack Reacher. That opening sequence of Jack Reacher is a sniper. And so that's about like the cat and mouse between a cop and a criminal, but not about like the actual horror and like fear of being attacked by this person. That would just be like maybe too scary and uncomfortable for people.
Right.
It's just funny to think of it like if you mash the cat and mouse thing up with the horror genre where it's like a grizzled detective trying to get Freddy Krueger or something. Like just how that plays out, that relationship.
Yeah, because we seem like pathologically incapable of being afraid enough of guns, like as a culture, just based on like the laws and the way we react to news. I was wondering if it's something like that or if it's like a deeper cultural thing, like we aren't scared of guns because that's what cowboys used, but we're scared of Indian burial grounds because they're the ones we like fucked over and have like a reason to get revenge on us.
It's literally the guilt of manifest destiny playing out where you're like, ooh,
yeah,
we shouldn't be here.
Yeah.
But it's a good, like it's a good rule. I mean, it's the same reason that they don't use like a horror movie creatures don't use like a nuclear weapon or like a tank because it would be too easy to kill people. Anything that is too easy for a horror movie script shouldn't be legal to own.
Right.
There you go. You know? That would be a great rule.
If it's a hurdle for a writer to be like, oh, this is too easy because the bad guy would just kill everyone immediately, that should be something that you are allowed to have in
your house. The Hollywood Handbook Act.
Yeah. Horror movie gun legislation.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back, and Matt Drudge has had it, you guys.
He has up to had here. It with Fox News' foolery and nonsense. Yeah, it all happened because there was a segment on Fox where they were discussing the shooting, and some moment came up where they, like, the anchors were having a laugh, and he just sort of captured these screenshots of some of the hosts just kind of yucking it up, but, like, the chyron underneath was about, like, the horrible racist attacks that were happening in the country. And they're like, have a little respect here. Respect on their names. Mm-hmm. And it was just sort of like, you know, I think he couldn't believe the optics of just sort of saying it and saying, like, is this really funny? And then having, like, another caption of someone laughing saying, oh, it's hysterical. But yeah, it was just sort of one of the things. His tweet was, a segment on Fox News this morning where hosts laughed and joked their way through a discussion on political impact of terror was bizarre. Not even 48 hours since blood flowed at the synagogue. Check your soul in the makeup chair.
Yeah.
Which is odd for Drudge, who's typically marches lockstep with the Fox News arm of the GOP.
But you do see more and more of these Republicans kind of breaking rank as Fox News and the party moves farther right and making appeals to, like, sanity or whatever. Some of the most popular Twitter guys are, like, David Frum and Max Boot, people that were, like, hardcore W devotees that are now become, like, never Trumpers. I think it's kind of a mistake to ascribe any, like, sincerity or like, genuine conscience to any of these people.
Right.
I think if you're if you make your money this way and you feel what, like, the ground shifting under your feet, you just run to the place where people will be receptive to what you're saying.
Right.
I think that's happened to lots of people that joined the alt-right that just, like, wanted to be famous.
Yeah.
And, like, that's where the standards are so much lower for celebrity. Right. So, like, Candace Owens or Baked Alaska, like, runs over there because people will clap for them.
And then, oddly enough, they will have nothing. It's like doing reality TV. It's like, yeah, well, it's easy to get on reality TV. And then you try and cross over, and people are like, no, you're a reality person.
Yes.
Right. Stay over there. You know, Jack, you said when you watched it, it wasn't necessarily that they were joking around it. So it's a little, he's not totally representing what happened, sort of.
It's just
sincerely
weird because of all the just horrible things that are happening on Fox News. This was the one clip I've seen from the past couple weeks where I wasn't immediately outraged.
Yeah.
Like, they seem punchy while talking about very dark news, like, you know, almost like it's very uncomfortable, and so they're kind of laughing to break the tension. So, like, performatively, as newscasters, I'd maybe give them bad marks. But it's, I don't know, it seems like a case of transference where, like, some part of Matt Drudge knows that they're in the wrong and that they caused this shit. And so, like this is something I notice a lot with him because I pay attention to his front page just to, like, kind of keep an eye on what conservatives are thinking. And I feel like he does this a lot where he'll say the right thing, but then he'll link to the wrong thing. Like, he'll say Fox News is wrong,
right,
but then his example won't be the right example. And I feel like it's a way of both, like, having a valid point of view while also undercutting that valid point of view because it conflicts with your, like, ideological standpoint.
Jeff flaking it.
Yeah.
Right.
Because I'm sure that segment where they were laughing was probably bookended by a discussion about the caravan bringing disease or whatever to the country. The most like naked racist appeal, like probably of the Trump presidency so far.
What's funny is all the laughter was set off by Kennedy from MTV making a quip at the end of the segment, which was sort of like broke the tension, is what they're laughing at.
Great example of someone whose 15 minutes ran out and just went scrambling to, I mean, the easiest way to run a fame grift.
Right, go to the right.
Like, yeah, you got conventions, you're on TV all the time, you can just stretch it out.
Oh, and if you're a person of color, you will literally become an all-star overnight.
Yes, like, that's the thing. Like, I think Candace Owens worked for like an Upworthy or like something like that during the 2016 campaign and would write like Hillary is bae articles and stuff like that.
Oh, really?
Yes. And then as soon as that ran out, I mean, you find a place where people are so much more receptive to what you're doing.
And look at her now. She's best friends with Kanye West. Yes. So are things really going that bad for Candace?
Right. I mean,
she's crushing it.
We can all aspire.
But the risk, I think, like what happened with Megyn Kelly is if you start on the right and you move to the center and you lose your place in the center, now you got nowhere left.
Yeah,
I mean, you can shift really hard right and go to like wherever InfoWars or whatever it is now. But like at some point, you just kind of run out of real estate.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You can have a show on The Blaze.
With Tommy Lahren?
Yeah. What was the Glenn?
That was The Blaze.
Yeah.
Or it might still be. I don't know.
Yeah. I think he like basically flamed out at Fox News and went and started his own network.
And he tried. You remember for a minute, he was like contrite and he tried to move left.
Be center.
That one just kind of didn't take.
It's funny when your politics are like, that's the thing you commodify for fame. Like, you're like, well, what am I going to be today?
Yeah.
What bit am I going to do?
Yeah.
Am I going to do this alt-right isn't, guy?
This opinion that I have is not working anymore.
Right.
Like, what's my new one that will...
And it's sad, too, because some people look at those people and think they're actual, like, they're sincere actors in, like, these discussions, and you're like, no. They say what is whatever will benefit them the most.
All right. Let's talk about this bombing plot. Another incompetent bomber on the right foiled by their own incompetence.
Yeah, it was one of those things where this guy, Patrick Stein, he got convicted with like two other sort of right-wing militia guys who basically set out for the plan to bomb a mosque and an apartment complex where there were a lot of Somali refugees where they were worshiping and living. And, you know, it was one of those things where like the FBI caught wind of it and were just like, okay, let's handhold you to the end. Hi, we're the FBI. Now you're under arrest because you were trying to pull some wild shit. So on Monday, his attorneys were basically trying to argue about his sentencing and essentially using the argument that Donald Trump made him do this because if it weren't for all the rhetoric and things going on around the campaign, it wouldn't have pushed him so far to these extreme measures. But what's like really weird is the way the request for lenient sentencing is written, because it's like written very colloquially. For example, so this is when they're talking about how the president's like racism and Islamophobia was sort of like the catalyst for all this. This is quote from the legal document. 2016 was quote lit. The court cannot ignore the circumstances of one of the most rhetorically mold-breaking, violent, awful, hateful, and contentious presidential elections in modern history, driven in large measure by the rhetorical China shop bull who is now our president. And then they go on with a really sick reference to Spinal Tap. It says, a person normally at a 3 on a scale of political talk might have found themselves at a 7 during the election. A person like Patrick, his client, who would often be at a 7 during a normal day, might, quote, go to 11. See Spinal Tap is written in here.
What now, I don't know if, like, fuck is their audience?
I don't know if the lawyers normally write with this kind of casual swag.
Right.
But it's just really odd, too, because then they're also trying to dismiss like what they were trying to do as sort of being, they literally said they're knuckleheads who were, and this was just locker room talk when the guy called himself the Orkin Man and he was looking for cockroaches to exterminate. I mean, you're going to have a tough time, I think, convincing this judge otherwise. But, you know, it goes to show, you know, that there are now people who are actually facing like actual legal repercussions for trying to be terrorists. And they're using the Donald Trump made me do it defense.
Right.
it feels like the audience is, I guess, the public, like hoping to get this case out in like the court of public opinion and have people be able to point to Trump for basically brainwashing people. You've seen kind of the opposite of this, I think, with after the Cosby conviction, like the lawyer talking about that was like, this is there's a war on men, fake news, all these things. And that was clearly directed at Trump and like people that like him, like maybe even like pushing for a pardon. So yeah, I think so many of these now, the like media is so pervasive, you're not just writing something for a judge or for like a courtroom. Like you're hoping it gets out to some wider audience.
I mean, it's gonna be tough. Because that argument may be like a liberal person may be sympathetic to, they would see the optics and be like, yeah, I can see how the rhetoric drummed this up. But you're not going to then be like, oh, I know, you just tried to bomb a bunch of people at a mosque in an apartment building. So we'll give you a mulligan on that one.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know what how much real support they can drum up with this. But
wait, it might not work in this case, but if you fast forward, whatever, 4 years, when people are looking back at this era and like the Paul Ryans of the world are like forced to kind of reckon with it, this is what, that's the kind of thing you're going to see. Like everyone was swept up in this movement. The rhetoric was awful. He'll say like, I said many times that he went too far. They'll try to absolve themselves for like having like collaborated for so long.
He's like, and now I'm running to be your president.
If at the time, on a normal day, I might be a three at being a shitbag politician. At the time, I was cranked up to a seven. But yeah, I guess, is it working? Because, I mean, we're talking about it on the biggest news show in America.
I mean, I think
Daily Zeitgeist.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just more fodder for people like us to discuss, like, okay, they're trying that as a defense. But like, when it's a defense for trying to bomb refugees, it's like, I don't know about that.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy that this is what they have to resort to get people to talk about it, because it is, if it were the other way around, if it were, you know, three Islamic people who were planning to bomb a apartment building full of white people and like their white white celebration
every day
like that would be the biggest news story on Fox News
but it's, the defense might be kind of the same, that they were radicalized by you know, and basically brainwashed by this like larger movement. So I think it is notable that we could sort of say the same stuff about like fundamentalist terrorism, like in the Islamic world, as we can about white terrorism.
Yeah.
They're very similar. It's just one gets actually covered by the mainstream media and one doesn't.
And well, and they also make the point, though, they're saying because Trump won, that was actually going to make them less likely to follow through on their plan, because these guys were operating in a world where it was a foregone conclusion Hillary Clinton was going to win.
It was going to be on Election Day, right? Or like the day after Election Day.
Yeah, because they didn't want to do it before, because the optics they thought would help Hillary or something of that happening. So they were going to do it after. And they're like, well, you know, but since he won, they actually, you know, it released some of the tension for them, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, I mean, right now, they're one of the guys is looking at like up to life in prison. But his attorneys are hoping with this argument that maybe it'll be closer to 15, which they feel would adequately reflect the seriousness of the offense.
The last thing the synagogue shooter posted on Gab was screw your optics. I mean, you wonder how many mass murders are being held back right now just by people being like, oh, the optics of this are just brutal.
I mean, we're nearly guaranteeing the blue wave now. And I mean, it makes you, on the same side of that coin, you're like, what happens after Election Day? Like, you know, if this mindset is still out there.
Yeah. So don't vote. We were wrong when we told you guys to vote. Don't vote.
Don't vote. Hide in your house, play video games, and just eat Arby's.
Yeah. We wanted to talk about Shep Smith over on Fox News. Yeah. The voice of reason.
Yeah. I mean, it's not an act necessarily, but he's sort of there, I think, just to give Fox cover, to be like, it's not all fucking psychos on our channel, you know? Like, we have Shep Smith, come on. And
it's like,
you know,
how they used to use Alan Combs.
Right. And so now, because of all the caravan talk and how, you know, every day there's something new, Trump's saying something wilder and wilder. And, you know, recently on their network, they're having people coming on claiming that, you know, there's big, strong men coming in here, and the people who have smallpox and fucking leprosy. Like, someone actually said they're lepers in this. It's like, I'm still wrapping my head around claiming you got lepers in the caravan. Anyway, so that's sort of what's going on at Fox, that Shepard Smith used his time slot to try and pump the brakes a little bit because everyone who's watching that channel is getting fed this diet. And this is what he broadcasted to his viewers.
The migrants, according to Fox News reporting, are more than 2 months away, if any of them actually come here. But tomorrow is 1 week before the midterm election, which is what all of this is about. There is no invasion. No one's coming to get you. There's nothing at all to worry about. When they did this to us, got us all riled up in April, remember? The result was 14 arrests. We're America, we can handle it. But, like I said, a week to the election, and Jennifer Griffin's on it from the Pentagon.
Yeah. I mean, he's not even like, yo, please calm the fuck down. Which is sad because on either side of him, you have people like Sean Hannity's and the Tucker Carlson's of the world who then go on and just have someone being like, oh, yeah, they're bringing like polio-like diseases where everyone's going to be paralyzed.
Right.
You know, it's tough because on one hand, I want to be like, yes, great. I'm glad someone is saying that. But when you look on Twitter, especially after Shepard Smith has these moments, a lot of the viewers are like, get this guy off Fox. They're like, this right. guy's a liberal or whatever. And they don't like, I guess that's so offensive to them that someone would be like, hey, you know, I know you're worried. How about you not worry? Like, don't tell me to fucking not worry.
Worry.
It's my natural state.
Yeah. I mean, it's good, right, for him to say
sure.
this.
Of course.
But part of you is still like, I mean, quit your job. Like, right. if this is how you really feel, like, how can you be still working at a place like this? But also, I can't help but wonder if that clip is circulating a lot more among like people on the left than it is on the right. I mean, it was like 10 seconds of the broadcast mm-hmm. for people to see live. And if he, you know, the same as these guys that like every once in a while will say something against Trump mm-hmm. because it plays so well among like centrists, like if people like Shep Smith know that this is a way to like get goodwill and hedge your bets if everything like goes really south.
Right.
It's just hard to take really seriously when you're still getting money from
Fox.
From that place.
Yeah. Which the kind of nonsense they're spewing is
but better than not doing it. I guess.
Yeah, well, I'm glad there's at least someone on that channel to make people angry and want to change the channel, because if you get, you know, like it helps you realize that there are other viewpoints, that much in the same way, like if you're in your progressive bubble, you're hardly going to interact with people who are coming on to be like, there's lepers coming.
Yeah,
and then you're going to be like, oh, get this shit off. You know, but I guess for this, because his argument isn't as sensational, he's just like, it's okay. The numbers are, it's going to take 2 months for them to, even we reported that, remember?
Which is the equivalent of the mad as hell speech from Network.
essentially.
Him just being like, it's all right, everyone. Okay. It's just a fucking contrast.
No one's coming to get you or your lake house.
Right.
But it lets, it's like you're saying, it lets Fox say we are a balanced network.
Yeah.
He provides them so much cover.
Exactly.
So he's kind of a useful idiot.
Like, yeah, right. Totally. That's why I'm like, it's funny when you see like people like Adam Schiff and all these other politicians like hold this clip up on Twitter and be like, yes, you know, I'm glad someone is saying something, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, yeah, that's good for you to retweet, but I don't think that has any effect. That's not going to move anyone who's mm-hmm. a true, you know, just mainlining Fox News all day.
Yeah.
Yeah. If anything, it just proves that there is at least one voice that they are actively ignoring. Or, I mean, if you didn't think that they were at least partially aware of what they were doing, which, I mean, I think it's pretty clear they know exactly what they're doing.
But then it's also funny, too, because then you'll meet like some elderly people who are like, I love Shepard Smith.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Okay. So you're then you realize then there's some Fox, like maybe if they're on a spectrum, maybe 10% are of the Shepard Smith ilk. You know? And then the rest are kind of like whatever in between that. But
they like to say in all their advertising, they imply that there's like a firewall between the daytime stuff and the nighttime, like Tucker and Laura Ingraham stuff. There was that billboard up in Silver Lake for a really long time that was like real news and real honest opinion. And so it was like Brett Baier is like the news guy.
Right.
And then like Hannity and all them are the opinion guys. But the reality is they get so much of the really toxic shit off in the daytime.
Oh, 100%.
That seems more legit because like every once in a while they do stuff like shit.
They do the thing where they just allow an quote unquote expert to come on or someone who is a former ICE agent and then say wild shit and don't challenge it and move on. And that's how they get away with like, okay. And I didn't say I agreed.
Right.
I just let him say that wild stuff. And now we're moving on to a story about a lost puppy.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay.
I mean, there are people who watch ESPN who enjoy both Stephen A. Smith and Scott Van Pelt. And it's like, you know, they have wildly differing takes, but it's just, you know, different sort of flavors, but they're still, you don't have to always watch and enjoy watching things that have a coherent worldview.
No, yeah.
It's like an off-speed pitch watching Shep Smith. It's like they're, they're downer where they get to relax. All right, real quick, Trump says he'll end birthright citizenship.
All right, real quick.
No big deal. We're almost out of time before the break.
Well, I mean, again, this is another thing that, along with Shepard Smith saying this is all happening a week before the midterms, this is Trump's attempt to try and neutralize a news cycle that is very bad for him right now. You know, like his polling's even like is going steadily down, especially after this weekend. And yeah, now he's trying to take over the news cycle by saying, I'll fucking alter the Constitution with an executive order. Okay, buddy, dude, that's not even possible, my man. But again, there are people who want to argue that there are many ways to do this. And he even said in the Axios interview, and what's his face? Jonathan Swan. Yeah, who was like, just shut the fuck up, dude.
Yeah, that was the thing that really disturbed me about it, because that whole conversation is set off by Jonathan Swan being like, so they say that you can't, like, you're allowed to remove citizenship. That's something okay for you to do.
Yeah.
That's my Australian.
Pretty good.
Like, he's offering up
that
this is okay for Trump because he knows that Trump will say some crazy shit.
Yeah.
Like, he's trying to get a soundbite out of it. But you're also emboldening him to actually try to do this.
Yeah, that's the thing about Axios, is they just, they love to be around it and do whatever they got to do to stay close to this administration on top of doing fake journalism like this weird interview was.
Yeah.
When Trump says, most people don't think I can do this, but now they're saying I can, like, how do you not just say who?
Who is
you
they?
And who is they? But he just instead...
Well, Swan says right after, well, that's under dispute, whether you're allowed to do that. And it's like, dude, you just told him that he could.
Right.
You just, like, heavily implied that to get him to start talking.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
He, you know, again, and so... Most people were scoffing, especially like when people look at, like, even a lot of people, even on the conservative side, are having trouble saying, like, I don't even think this Supreme Court would be willing to, like, try and just overturn the 14th Amendment like that. But as that happened too, Lindsey Graham, who's in a downward spiral that continues, he was saying, well, you know, because it has to also be, you know, legislatively is another avenue to try and attempt this. He was like, well, I'm going to introduce legislation to end birthright citizenship too.
But, he said that today?
Yeah, but or he said that yesterday. But yeah, that was his attempt to try and give legitimacy to this other weird claim that Trump was making. But again, it's like, my man, even to do that, they would have to get, what, 2/3 of a majority in Congress and 3/4 of the states to ratify that kind of thing?
Right.
So the, every attempt to do this is just like, it's a head scratcher, which is why everyone's like, please... Let's not talk about this, because this is just causing a debate about us talking about, well, can he? Because the answer is no.
Yeah.
And at best, it would be very, very laborious. And when really we're talking about, wait, what's going to happen to entitlement reforms and things that you're, what's really at risk for people who are voting against Republicans right now, you know, like thinking about protecting pre-existing conditions or the state of the president's rhetoric, you know?
Right.
So that's why most people are like, let's not get too caught up on this thing.
Yeah, that's the danger of it. Is crazy, obviously. The process is ridiculous that it would take to have it happen. But the danger is the conversation about it will move the window so that you find yourself defending birthright citizenship.
Right.
And then the compromise becomes something much more awful than what we have now. It's like, okay, well, you know, we're not going to remove birthright citizenship, but we are going to stop people from having children in this country in this more like draconian way. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what you do about it, because I think it's a mistake to ignore it in some way. Like it is like an electoral ploy. I think he said last week that on Tuesday that he was going to do some big announcement or something, and which is today.
Right.
And it hasn't really come. I don't know if it was moving troops to the border. They were talking about shutting the whole thing down.
Right. Another great sensational distraction.
Right. Yeah. But to say, like, I don't know. You can't delegitimize it, but you also can't legitimize it. I don't know. I feel kind of stuck about it. Like, to just not talk about it, then when it happens, you're like, oh, should we have been talking about this?
Well, I think it's just when you think of other times that other people have, you know, there was a Supreme Court case in the late 19th century where people were talking about, like, the Supreme Court ruled that there were children born to Chinese parents in the U.S. were American citizens. Like, time after time, people have gone after this, and it's always been like, no, like, this is something that we set out, especially when it came to African slaves, of saying, oh, these slaves, they didn't immigrate here, but they were born on U.S. soil, henceforth they are U.S. citizens. Like, it's a very complicated matter, and it's not – that's why to talk about, like, oh, can he do that with an EO or whatever, it sucks up so much of the attention when it's something that is not – it's so far beyond the realm of what is, like, possible in a legal aspect that it serves him, because now we're all trying to talk about this when most sound legal minds are like, this is not possible. Right.
Yeah.
But it's just kind of the hopelessness of the – you know, he talks about it. He's the president, therefore it's news, and he controls mm-hmm. the news cycle, and we're fucked because whatever he's talking about, like, you have to report the thing that he said,
but you can
at
move
least
on.
By the standard rules of how a media is supposed to operate.
But think of how much more severe this is than, like, DACA, which he was seen as kind of being compassionate about for a while,
right.
And that was about... like, children being brought into the country, undocumented, being allowed to stay here and become mm-hmm. citizens. Now, even unborn children that are, like, born in this country
right.
have never lived anywhere else.
Right.
Like, he's talking about them being eligible for being thrown out. So,
yeah, but one was a program that was legislatively done, and one is part of the Constitution itself. And I think that's the biggest difference, is, like, the hurdles you have to overcome to wholesale alter the Constitution are much... it's a different mountain to climb.
I know, but it's a problem that we're talking about that.
Right.
Like, basically saying, like, well, you can't, like, the process for doing that, you would have to go through Congress, and you'd have
right.
to go through the states. And, like, him saying, like, okay, you guys are right, I'll go through Congress to end birthright citizenship. And then it's like, oh, wait, this wasn't a win that we that we got. The fact that he's going through this more legitimate
right.
process.
Well, right, right. But what I'm saying is, even if even trying to go through Congress
yeah.
is a fool's errand, even regardless.
I hope so. I saw a lot of people saying on Twitter today, like, well, see you in court for that if you're trying to do that.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know. Like, do I really trust that institution anymore?
Sure, sure.
To do the right thing. Or not just abdicate responsibility like they did in the Muslim ban.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
right.
like, I remember thinking at the time, this will never stand.
Right.
Up in the Supreme Court, and it did.
Yep.
So that's the kind of thing that scares me, like having the conversation about process instead of just on moral grounds that this is like,
yeah,
this,
and I think there's so many other things to talk about that people can focus on that'll
yeah.
have some actual meaningful discussion about. But, you know, he knows when the news cycle is getting out of his hands, and he does stuff like this, and he's like, oh, and we'll also send like 5,000 troops deploying
yeah.
troops to the border, however many troops he's going to deploy to the border.
Yeah.
And you have all these generals coming on, they're like, that's so, like, why do
right.
this?
And
if it's just for the thing of, like, oh, well, they'll build tent cities or something, it's like, you can do that in a much more efficient way that isn't just you having the optics of sending the army to the southern border,
right.
which is, that's all, it's just a moment for people
yeah.
to hang their hat.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. It's if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back, and Lena Dunham, guys, is back in the news. She is making a movie about the refugee experience.
Syrian refugees, no
Syrian
less.
Refugees.
Yes. Is Syria a part of Manhattan that I'm not aware of? I don't know what the fuck. Like, this is for J.J. Abrams and Steven Spielberg or something? They're the ones filming it?
Yeah.
I just read the headline and I kept moving. I kept it moving. I don't know any other details aside from that, and that was enough for me to know what is there. Am I missing anything here?
No, I mean, like, I think it kind of I think Spielberg is interested in this kind of thing,
right?
Because the Shoah Foundation has been doing a lot of work, like connecting the Syrian refugee experience to what happened to Jewish people like decades ago, and like this is the same thing going on now. So I understand why he wants to tell this story.
Right, for sure, right.
Why it's Lena Dunham, I mean, I don't believe that you have to have experienced something to write about it.
Yeah.
I don't think it has to be like a Syrian refugee writing this script.
Yeah, or else we'd only be writing movies about the 20th century.
Yeah.
Right.
And she, look, I think the best version of it is she has articulated her experience so deep. Like, she's such an insular writer and, like, writing about her own stuff all the time. If she can translate that into, like, fully realize the human reality of being a Syrian refugee, that would be amazing.
Right.
But, it seems unlikely given her
given
stuff
her
she's worked
record.
On. But, yeah.
I mean, Dave Eggers was a guy who, like, made his name writing sort of a very up his own ass brand of memoirish writing, and then he did a pretty good job eventually documenting like other people's experiences. He wrote a really interesting book that he said was like a nonfiction novel called What Is What or What is the What?
Yeah.
And he wrote Zaytoon, which he admitted was nonfiction, about a immigrant in New Orleans who goes around saving people during Hurricane Katrina and the aftermath, and then is put in prison and like suspected of terrorism for just being basically a brown person in New Orleans because Katrina was so fucked up. But anyways, I mean, I don't know. Maybe that's like the aspirational version of this, is that she has kind of realized that she's tapped out of stuff about her own life and is ready to move on to the next thing.
I mean, go write a story about how OBJ fucking curved you. You know what I mean? Write that script. I just feel like it's for something as like so nuanced and like about this Syrian refugee experience. At the very least, I agree that she has talent as a writer and things like that. But I feel like this can't be the only option to do this. And not that it can't be Lena Dunham, but it was a chin rubber. For me.
Right.
Sure. Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, but I think, that's like the best evolution of her career is just taking her like command of language, just being like a good communicator and translating it into someone who can adapt someone else's story really well and effectively.
Yeah.
But there is also a catastrophically bad version of it. Just unimaginably right. yeah. awful.
And yeah. I feel like that tends to be, like, I root for her because I don't know. I liked parts of Girls and, you know, I always root for like a young writer. And there's just always, whenever she kind of puts a political point of view out there, it's just, I always end up with my hand on my forehead a little bit.
But yeah. all those things have had her at the center of them.
Right.
Right?
That's
all the
true,
stuff
yeah.
with, like, whatever, her dog and, like, the OBJ thing. It's mm-hmm. all, like, her centering herself in a way that is, like, kind of gross. It's yeah. going to be hard to do that with this, with right. this script. So maybe it's, like, the best thing she right. could be doing.
Is yeah. How is she going to research this?
Well, I'm
the
sure.
book, I guess, I mean, right?
Just like, it's journalism, a, I'd imagine. Right.
But is she, you think she's going to go and, like, live that life or something to try and really get that firsthand experience?
No.
Because, like, also, you're writing a story about oppressed people, and I'm hardly seeing her experience with being oppressed.
No.
And how that translates. Like, not to say that you, again, you have to be on one side or the other to write honestly about that. But I don't know, like, we're trying to advance a little bit. And I feel like this is an opportunity for maybe other people to be able to do this in a way that gets the whole thing out. But who knows? If she's being like, no, I'm going to Aleppo and I'm going to see what's good. And, you know, really, I'm going to take 8 months
yeah,
and travel by boat and just live with these people. Okay, maybe.
What other people are there besides Lena Dunham, though?
I mean,
at the very least, I feel like, Lena, what you have to do is go to Greece, go to the beach where the boats are coming in and just, like, spend a week there helping people, like, get off the boats and stuff. I know Hollywood people who have done this been like, is this, like, incredible, like, crazy experience. You don't have to go to Aleppo, but you do have to get out there in a private way. Too. I mean, like, you know, not in a way that is like,
don't Lindsay Lohan it up.
Right.
And like, I'm going live. Tell the people of America, what do you want? And I will give it to you. What is your Venmo? I'll get it to you. What do you want? Birkin bag? And I'm like, why are you talking with that accent?
Yo,
shut the fuck up, Lindsay.
Then we find out that she goes over there and we realize there's, like, something in the water, or, like, Assad has, like, gotten to them and has actually, like, whatever, chemically brainwashed them to go over to their side. You're like, oh, so that's, like, you just become, like, the same whatever pod person that Lindsay Lohan is now.
Right,
right.
Oh, Lena, you know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Hope for the best.
It's a project we'll get to keep an eye on because it's happening out loud in public, and we know the writer. What about Halloween costumes? You guys doing anything for Halloween, dressing up?
I'm going to hand out candy. And I'm gonna hand them out bygone era candy, so they know. I'm gonna hand out Squeeze-Its and Mondo drinks. Remember Mondo? Mondo was like a Squeeze-It, but like had the weird like flat top that you would snap off.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I got old Fruitopias on my hand out. I'm just like, y'all don't know about this.
Oh yeah, Sobe.
Yeah, exactly. Sobe's. Sobe.
Sobe. Yo,
carrot one.
What was the off-brand, the third brand, not Gatorade, not Powerade? Was it
All Sport?
Sport?
Yeah.
All Sport. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was like carbonated sports beverage.
That's right.
That
it had like a little fizz to it.
Yeah.
The thing about Sobe was that it was unfinishably huge. Like those bottles were just like so giant. And it was kind of thick in a way that sort of made it feel like a meal in a bad way. And so I always was throwing out the last third of that. So
And like old Naya water bottles. Remember Naya? Anyway, I don't know. I think I'm just going to hand out candy. They have glow in the dark candy, which I haven't opened up yet. Oh. I just saw it at the store and it's like glow in the dark Hershey's.
Oh.
I don't know if the candy itself is glow in the dark or it's the packaging.
Got to be the package.
I haven't opened it up, but
I mean, they've had glow in the dark worms, like those gummy worms for years.
I'm
years,
old,
Miles.
You know, that's so what do I know?
How about you, Hayes? You
I'm anything? Also. I'm not doing anything. What the idea I have now? What kids seem to like more is savory stuff. They love hot Cheetos. They love like
hot Cheetos and Takis. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Instead of candy now, it's savory snacks.
Yeah.
So maybe if I really want to give the kids a thrill this Halloween,
roast up a prime rib. Little carving station,
little
outside.
Rosemary. Yeah. Outside.
They're like, "Would you like a would you like a more rare or well done side?" Okay, you're gonna love this. This is actually Australian Wagyu beef,
just loose in the bag with all their a big slab of meat.
And you're like, "Would you like some jus on there? Horseradish?"
carving station is such a good idea.
Dude, a carving station. So you just watch the kids just like go back, like not making eye contact with you? No? Okay.
Yeah, okay. Just the really thirsty chef at a buffet. Right. Who's a buffet. Just like,
why is no one coming to the station?
Yeah.
Oh, and for you, young lad, I have moussaka. You're going to love this.
Did you guys see the little girl's costume? The headless little girl?
Oh yeah,
like
I
holding
did see
her own
that
head
one.
On
yeah.
a platter.
That's yeah. one of, that's pro it's a costume that I think people have probably seen before where the actual head is looks like it's on a plate and then there's like an apparatus above it that makes it look like it's a headless body carrying the head on a plate, but it's just the most.
And then you find out this is like a physical deformity she has, and you're like, oh no, I'm so sorry. Well, oh, your head is actually coming out of your chest.
Yeah. Like Total Recall and shit.
Yeah. It's good for you taking ownership of it.
The proportions body. Don't make sense. In the costume. That's why, like, I was.
Well, I like how when you, apropos of nothing this morning, you go, yo, did you see this little girl's costume?
Yo, it's and such I was a like, good costume.
No, but
man.
I didn't know what the fuck you were talking about. So I'm like, what do you mean? Like, I was like, oh shit, some blackface nonsense or some shit. And it was a thing I had saw, and I was like, oh yeah. And but you were sincerely, like, you were really mesmerized by this, and you're like, damn, like, and then they put the candy, like, in the neck hole.
I know. Yeah. I'm just a fan.
That's it. I mean, that feels like one of those costumes that a parent does to like show their kid off. The worst ones are when they dress them up as something that the parents are fans of, mm-hmm. like their favorite whatever, like podcast host or something. Yeah. Right. That you see on your Twitter feed, you're like, do not do this. Right. Stop doing it.
Wait, have people dressed their kids up as you?
Never kids, thank God. some adults occasionally, but I see like whatever, some like Barstool Sports host, you like dress your kid up as that, and a kid has to grow up and be like, what did you dress for Halloween when you were a kid? Oh yeah, I was PFT commenter or whatever. Like, don't do that to your children.
And finally, I want to talk about Crunch Cup, which is a new invention that is being sent around on the internet. Not really, but it's something
it's
that's
got a little Kickstarter campaign going.
It's a cup that's meant to allow you to eat cereal on the go without having your cereal get soggy. So it keeps the milk and the cereal separate. It's not clear at all like how it creates the bites that have both the milk and the cereal in it.
Well, I think, it basically has like a I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's
just feels like you're going to be drinking more milk than you get cereal. Like the idea is that when you move the cup to sip, gravity will pull the little cereal morsels to your mouth.
That's not going to work.
And then the milk is coming around the bottom lip of the cup, and then you just mix it in your mouth and eat it.
Yeah.
Which I get it.
It's a good.
It looks like something the first time you used it, you'll want to like lay out a tarp in your house because it's going to go really wrong.
Like you're eating lobster, you put a bib on or some shit. For all of us, we eat lobster on the regular. I think what got Jack really pissed off is like, I was like, yo, you hear about this Crunch Cup? Because I just thought the idea itself was sort of interesting.
Yeah,
that someone was like,
super intriguing.
How do
I love
I
cereal?
Eliminate bowl and spoon. You know what I mean? Yeah. And just do it in a cup so you could look extra juvenile. Mm-hmm. So we go to the Kickstarter page and, you know, we all know Kickstarter's the key to a sick starter. Is a dope fucking video.
Yes.
And this video is just so annoying. Like, it's done in this 80s way. Here, I'm just going to show you a little bit, Hayes, just so you can kind of get an idea of, like, what we're talking about.
Uh-huh, okay.
It starts off with, like, a VHS thing.
Yeah.
Cool. It's a bygone era. Like, oh, wow, real cool 80s graphics.
That aesthetic is very big now.
I know. And then you get...
They lose that 80s thing almost immediately.
Yeah. Use a fucking filter on the camera. Come on. Your DP not know how to make this look 80s?
This feels like one of those products in the aftermath of the blanket, the Snuggie, and the ShamWow, and things that were like not intentionally stupid, but like millions of people bought as a joke. And now they're doing it on purpose.
Stupid
like,
products.
You know about this Crunch Cup? I got you one of these. That's the kind of sale that I think they're trying to make.
And the video is meant to be as sarcastic and sort of self-aware as possible.
And like wacky. And it's almost specifically done. You can tell that they looked at that Dollar Shave Club viral video and were just like, that is what we want from you, ad agency.
Hold on. That video fucked every like business owner up, because when I was like doing like digital content for companies, so many people were like,
We just need like that Dollar Shave Club video.
It's not going to work.
That's, it was the only touchstone people
had. My whole reason for bringing this up is I just want anybody who is anywhere involved in the launch of a private, like, that is not going to work, guys. That happened. It's over. It's not going to work for you, and you're going to end up fucking your product up and fucking your product launch up. Like, this specific product, they don't bother to show you like how the mouthful is created, so it for all you know it could just be and they spend their time instead, like, the scientist at one point has like a horse mask on for no reason that like doesn't come back, the 80s thing doesn't come back, like, it's just like throw every wacky idea at the wall.
So you've just gotten, you have more notes for the people who are behind this.
No, but it's just we've seen this before.
Yeah, the desire, like, to launch a product off
like
some...
in a wacky viral video that is trying to recapture that Dollar Shave Club thing.
Yeah.
Dollar Shave Club can't even recapture that Dollar Shave Club.
But you have to do this now because every product that we need exists.
Right.
And so you can't create something that people will actually buy out of necessity. So it has to be for some joke reason.
Really? Right.
Like, you can only launch like a joke product.
But now, I guess, don't do the sarcastic guy who's walking around a lab being like, this shit is dope.
Right.
It might work on like VCs or something where you can just like get flush with VC money and just like cut and run, basically. Yeah.
They're like, dude, it was like the Dollar Shave Club video.
Yeah.
I'm getting in. You getting in? I'm getting in.
Right. It's these 60-year-old guys that are like, oh, okay, this is, so they like this. Millennials like this? Okay.
And that was just, I don't know what they mean by one long shot. So that was, I thought it was one video. No, the camera, forget it. You're fucking money, assholes.
Yeah, maybe this is just offensive to me as somebody who watches.
But I think it is, because the thing that upsets us is that it's the lack of ingenuity about it. Like, you're just following the mold of this other thing that's already dated. But yeah, like you say, Hayes, like, you do need something to kind of separate yourself from like the rest of the herd.
Yeah.
And of course, there are a million ways to do a product video. You just don't have to do the version that's a guy talking to camera, walking around a lab, and doing all this like tongue-in-cheek shit.
Right. Fool us into thinking Justin Bieber doesn't know how to eat a burrito. That's how to launch your product.
And those guys, I know everybody on the internet was like, the guys, it was fake. Bruh, if y'all were listening to the show, I said off top that it was, we don't know if it was Justin Bieber, okay? So thank you. Yes, the YouTubers got some of us. But I knew his knees were too hairy for it to be Justin Bieber.
Hayes, it's been a pleasure having you.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Where can people find you, listen to you?
God,
you?
So many podcasts now. It's sick. Hollywood Handbook.
You've got an illness, man.
Yeah. LA. Once you got that Zoom H6, it's hard to turn it off. Hollywood Handbook, LA podcast, and doing an NBA show now on Patreon called The Flagrant Ones. Or The Flagrant Ones.
Yeah, Flagrant One. It's a play on words for NBA fans in particular.
Those are the shows.
Awesome. And are you on Twitter?
Yeah, I'm on it all the time. I set screen time to an hour a day, and I don't even see that alert come up anymore.
There you go.
Where like my my thumb is just blasting it away before I can even register that it's come up.
So screen time is a great little thing.
If it worked, it would be amazing. And I was like, oh, this is going to change my life. I'm only going to do an hour on Twitter a day. That's incredible.
Nope.
at Hayes Davenport.
All right. And is there a tweet that you've been enjoying from Twitter?
from somebody else?
It can be from you, from somebody else, just any tweet.
No.
Okay.
All of them and none of them.
Yes, there you go.
Oh, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray, G-R-A-Y. And a couple of things I liked on Twitter. The tweet I liked today was from Dan White, that Jack first found and then I got into, and his tweets are just so fucking funny. At Dan White, @DanWhite. It's a photo of like those little koala bear care folding stations, like a baby changing station.
Yeah.
And it says, RT, if you use these as a fold-out bench when you don't have to go to the bathroom but want to sit and talk / chill with your boys while they blow out the bathroom stalls.
I like that.
Yeah,
we've all been there, man.
Yeah,
just a guy casually posting up on
feet dangling off the side. They're like, yeah, dude, I told you, don't get that Kung Pao chicken, man.
pressing the air dryer button for your friends so they don't have to get their hands dirty. It's like, no, dude, I got it.
I got it, dude. I use my elbow.
Like the FODs.
Tweet I've been enjoying is Adam Todd Brown tweeted something I didn't know. That he said they're laughing it up on Monday Night Football because Tom Brady is just now approaching 1,000 yards for his career. So this is a great time to roll out my fave sports fact. Dan Marino rushed for 87 yards in his entire career.
Oh, that's cool.
That's amazing.
My God.
87 yards full career.
Stay in that pocket, boy.
Yeah. He's at Adam Todd Brown on Twitter. And then Julian McCullough tweeted, what they don't tell you is that they were rated out of a maroon 10.
There's a YouTube thing I like based on Dan Marino. Have you seen Dan Marino Freaks Out?
No.
That's one of my favorites. It's like a 15-second clip of Dan Marino trying to say something on like an NFL Sunday like panel show. And like stumbling over his words and just having like a momentary like rage attack where everyone else at the table is like, whoa.
Wow.
All right. I'm going to watch that immediately. Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can follow us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. You can also find that information in the show notes. And Miles, what song are we going to ride out on?
So today I heard a track that, you know, because it's fall, you know, and the seasons are changing, being in LA, we don't really get that so much. And I was just talking to super producer Nick, who was in New York, talking about how it really feels like fall and how much I long for that feeling. I'm like forcing on a sweatshirt already when it's like 80 degrees outside. So this track is called 81 Autumn by Uyama Hiroto. And it's like a little sample based track, but I don't know, when I listen to it, I feel like it's fall. I wish I had a blanket on or something. And it just puts me in that fall mood. And that's not often. Usually I'm out here saying, like, it's going to make your big toe shoot up in your boot. Well, you know what? It's going to make your pumpkin spices all spicy. So just take this one in. It's 81 Auto.
The year 81? Is that what it's for? Or
I guess. I don't know.
The temperature 81.
Well, that's what we're experiencing
the
right
now. The year 81 is getting a lot of run on today's podcast.
Yeah.
Should just point out. Because your AKA came from somebody who was born 81.
Yeah. Whoa.
All right.
Numbers guy over here. Fucking Mercury rising.
Yeah. I'm like Rain Man, but only about the number 81.
Yeah, I'm about 81.
I'm excited for it. You need a fall walking around song.
Exactly.
The one mine historically is Magic by The Cars, which Patrick Monahan on Twitter recommended, and it really works in like New York and Boston.
Sure, yeah.
But just
out here,
it sucks.
The only thing that's brown is the air.
But you gotta pretend.
Yeah. All right, we're gonna ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. We'll talk to you then.
Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.